Audi.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Big Travel Podcast. I'm Lisa Francesca Nand. Exciting times here at the Big Travel Podcast. We are attempting to go back to one episode a week, something we did for the very first year and beyond. And then I got a bit slack and now I'm going to attempt to do it again, back by popular demand. We've been asked to do it more regularly and here we are, doing one episode a week. We have some brilliant guests coming up. I have Rebecca Johnson. She's a Nobel Peace Prize winner and she's one of the women from Greenham Common. I've also, fingers crossed, I don't like to talk about guests until they are recorded and in the bag, but fingers crossed, next week I am recording with a Hollywood actress. So that's very exciting. I hope that comes off and I look forward to sharing that with you. In the meantime, you're in for a treat today because this guest, I honestly had such a laugh with this man who I'm lucky enough to call a friend of a friend and someone I've seen in the street in passing a couple of times and not been confident enough to go, hi, I'd like to interview you. He's actually a friend of more than one friend, actually. So I got together with my friends and we pounced on him virtually and he said yes, he'd do it. So I'm really excited about that. He's a real character. He is an actor, a voiceover artist, a musician, a director, a former reality TV star, and really the person who, when he first came to public attention in 2006, after he won Big Brother, he really opened up the conversation about Tourette's syndrome. And in his own words, something he really wanted to do by going on the show in the first place, showed the nation it's okay to be truly yourself. Yes, it's Pete Bennett, and let's give him the full Big Travel Podcast introduction. Just a little pre-warning before we do, if you're listening with children or anyone who's sensitive to swearing, there is quite a lot of swearing in this episode. Growing up on a Peckham council estate with his musician mother and a cross-dressing child carer gave Pete Bennett a happy and colourful start. He was already quite well known with his band when during a crazy acid trip taken at a psychedelic rave, he had a vision he would go on and indeed win Big Brother, a vision that soon came true. He's been suckered in by a stoned agent with nefarious intentions in Hollywood, survived a forest fire on a weed farm in Santa Cruz, witnessed a chicken sacrifice in a Mexican church, narrowly avoided eating a golden retriever in Vietnam, and much more. Pete Bennett is on the Big Travel Podcast.
Are you not worried about pulling your teeth out?
No, I'm going to be dead one day. I don't give a fuck.
Your teeth are quite useful. Until you die.
I know, but I'm rock and roll, man.
So it is, it's the Big Travel Podcast. So it's basically about your life story. We do talk, sometimes we talk a lot of travel, but sometimes we totally ignore travel.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, fuck travel, man.
Yeah, exactly. Well, travel's pretty
good.
Let's
talk about me, Nadia.
No, but it is. So I think we should start in South London, which of course is a place of travel.
What, you want me to talk about Peckham?
Yeah, that's where you grew up. What was that like growing up?
Mate, oh God, I didn't really think we were talking about Peckham.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know where to start. What was it like?
And then what was it like for you?
Was it
a struggle growing up? Because you didn't develop the strength.
It still is a bloody struggle. It's like every day a struggle. Growing up every day and it gets worse. It was even more of a struggle. I don't know, we lived on a council flat in Peckham, right? Big red brick buildings, 34 Rother House, that was it. Opposite was Peckham Rye Park and there was, loads of big swings, there were swings and adventure playgrounds, and that was quite cool, yeah. Quick! But, you know, my mum was a violinist, she was a session musician, so she wasn't around a lot because she was off touring with the Communards. Quick! You know, that gay band, who was his name, Jimmy Somerville. I actually met him the other day in Brighton.
Did you?
And I was like, I'm not even here. Hey, because my mum lives in Martinique now. He went, tell your mum. She's a lucky bitch. And I decided to say, Auntie Jess said, Mum, Auntie Jess said you're a lucky bitch for living in Martinique. But anyway, that, yeah, she was on tour with the Communards. I think I went with her a couple of times, actually. I've got little vague memories of seeing the Communards logo in the massive club they were playing at. I can't remember where it was. But anyway, there's pictures of me with them on tour. And she was off playing with The Cure and Mark Almond at the time.
That's very cool, right?
I was wankers! Yeah, I was sat on his knee, that geezer with the big black hair, and what's his name again?
He's in
The Cure. I know his name.
Robert Smith. Yeah.
Robert Smith. He came in. We were at a studio. She's playing the violin for one of his tracks, and he came out, and his great big transvestite geezer turned up, and I was like, whoa, who is this geezer? He looks sick, man. Because I was raised by trannies. I can't say that now. But back in the day, I could say that. But
can you not say trannies anymore?
Well, I think no. I think you've got to say trans now. You know what I mean? You can't
but
say
trannies. Different things. I don't know.
No. You got. Yeah, it's like it's a thing. Yeah, you can't say tranny anymore. You got to say,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, because like even though when I was brought up in the gay scene and. I said tranny all the time, you know what I mean? It's my, I was brought up completely surrounded by gays and so no, you can't say that tranny. So well, now I've got to say it now. I was brought up by trans, yeah. Because but apart from that, I'll get back to that in a minute.
Yeah, that's alright.
He came in. I sat on his knee, and he gave me two toys playing the guitar, like two rock and roll guitar toys from Robert Smith. He gave me them as a present, and I remember that. That's really really. Memory, but I lost the toys the next day. So yeah, fuck that, bollocks. I wish I would have kept them.
I was going to say they could be worth a lot of money.
I lost them straight away. But anyway, yeah. So Mum was touring. I was looked after, babysat by Auntie. Well, not Auntie. It was Lizzie Ann was a man, but dressed as a woman. You know. So when I used to get told off, wankers, I used to. It was a man in like, you know, like proper like negligee, you know what I mean, like ripped tights and corset and black hair and punky kind of, but you know, but yeah, there's nuts hanging out, and I was like, right, okay, this is how I was brought up. I was babysat by Lizzie Ann and poofy cousin Mark. He was gay as well. He'd come over and I, you know, he was camper's arseholes, and he used to threaten me with Fred the Stick, and he'd go, don't you be naughty Pete, because when I get angry, I get nasty. And when I get nasty, I get really angry. And when I get really angry, Fred the Stick comes out. So, Fred the Stick was a fucking bamboo stick that was in the cupboard with the ironing board. And he used to threaten me, wankers, with Fred the Stick. So I was a good boy, you know. I knew Fred the Stick was going to get me if I misbehaved.
I might have to try that with my own kids.
Yeah, man, just threaten them with a large stick, a name. With a name, yeah. Give it a name. Like, Fred's quite a scary name. Like, Fred West, Freddy Krueger, you know what I mean? You can't give it a name like Bob. You know what I mean? It's a nice name, isn't it?
I don't know. Any serial killer Bobs.
No, I don't either, no. So, yeah, there's a lot of Freds. Fred was quite scary. So. But, yeah, I was so brought up in that for years, man.
What was that like having Lizzie Ann, the tranny not tranny, turning up at the school gate?
Well, you can't say tranny, but it's trans now. So, I used to like saying that word, but yeah, it's the thing that I've had to like smack myself on the head now, because you know I'm so used to saying it, and then it's been now.
Yeah, and times change. Yeah, trying to change. You used to be able to say coloured and things like that. Yeah, and then suddenly it's not.
You can't
to
say coloured either.
Like,
yeah, because everyone's a colour, isn't they?
Like, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Because I don't even know what to say anymore. I don't know what to say anymore. And it's hard because I've got Tourette's. I like saying naughty words. It's not fair for me to be alive in this, you know what I mean? Because I'm fucking, I want to swear. I want to say rude words and say un-PC stuff all the time. It makes me happy, so.
Swearing makes me happy,
yeah,
actually.
It's great. It makes me really happy. It sorts my mental health out, you know. As soon as I'm feeling a bit stressed out, I'll just say, cunty wank, and then I'm fucking back in the room. I love it, you know. It's my Tourette's.
I think, actually, we do say the odd fuck on the Big Travel Podcast, but I think this might be the first.
Oh no!
It's good. You can do what you like.
Yeah, I'm just doing what I like. I'm just being myself. I'm not holding any twitches in. I'm not on live TV right now. I'm just gonna let it out.
So you were growing up in South London. You were had Lizzie Ann.
Oh, yeah, what was it like?
Yeah.
Well, I liked
at the school gates and things like that.
Did she come to the school gates?
Yeah.
Pick me up? Yeah, I didn't give a shit, man. I liked it. You know what? And I actually was inspired because when mum come back from touring with Communards, she'd find that I'd raided her, like, her clothes, and I was dressed as my mum. You know, I'd have all of her clothes on, and I had makeup on, and I started dressing up as a girl as a young age as well. So I used to think this was really funny. I like it. I used to like putting, but I still wear makeup now. I still have makeup on. I always like wearing eyeliner and that. But because my mum was a punk. Everyone was a punk back then, and I liked Billy Idol. He was sick, man, and I just liked the way he looked. But anyway, but he wasn't dressed in drag, but I was, and I went out and played in the council flat. That's it, yeah.
And did people receive you well?
Yeah, I used to go up to the boys and pretend I was a girl, and because I looked like a girl, and I used to get like a wink and a smile from like, and I used to quite get a kick out of it, like, ha, they don't know I'm a boy. Yeah, so it was fun.
Your mum sounds super cool.
No, she is cool, man. She's still cool. She played low. She's wicked. Yeah, she's got even better stories than me because she remembers everything, you know.
And she lives in Martinique, yeah, which is a place of travel as well. Probably more of a place of travel than South London.
I went there, yeah. It is like Peckham on Sea. Wicker's like going home, but it's hot. You know what I mean? It's not like really nice. It's kind of a bit downtrodden and shit. And,
really?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not what I expected.
No, I know,
I mean,
yeah.
It sounds like it's some big, beautiful
it's a
Caribbean
dump. It's a dump, yeah.
It's a beautiful dump.
Yeah, it's a nice dump,
interesting.
Yeah. It's like a little, yeah.
Why? Has it been like sort of over-touristy?
Yeah,
like
no, there's like burnt out cars everywhere and... like, you know what I mean? And the buildings are just all like smash up and it's not tarted up, you know what I mean? It's proper, yeah, it's not nice. But it's hot and the beaches are nice. And they got a few little nice places that are, you know, but it's
the
not.
The tourists probably don't go out of it,
it's
probably
not
go
really
to those
a
places.
Place. It's a lot of old people there, old people everywhere, you know what I mean? So, oh, if you want to go to the other islands around, I haven't been there yet, but they're more like for younger party people, you know what I mean? But this one, a lot of older people who want to relax. There's not much to do, you know? It's kind of, yeah. But, you know, there's...
Doesn't sound like the obvious place for your musician, touring,
well,
punk mum to end up.
Yeah, well, she moved to France to teach violin stuff as well. And I think she started working at the airport, you know what I mean? To teach English, that's it. There was a job going in Martinique because Martinique's French, because she learned French. So she got a job in Martinique, teaching English in Martinique, and now she's there in the Caribbean. So I've been there, and yeah, it's nice. I do like it. I like all the frogs in the garden at night that you can trip out on if you touch them, and yeah, they're great. You know?
it was a natural progression for you to get involved in music.
Oh yeah, I loved it. I love music. Yeah, I've been into music for like, yeah, since I was a little boy. Mm.
But the Big Brother thing, I mean, that's interesting because that doesn't seem like a natural progression. And I read somewhere, I think it was in your book that I had a look through.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that it was a dream that led you to go on Big Brother.
No, it wasn't. It was acid.
It was acid. Yeah, okay.
Right. I think back in the day, I was a bit too scared to be like
it was a trip.
Yeah, I tripped out. I took too much acid, basically. You know, I had a trip and I saw the whole thing.
Did you?
Oh yeah, I saw
Did
everything.
You?
Yeah, man. Like fucking, it wasn't just one trip. It was two big, profound acid trips, which made me win Big Brother. And one was after my mate died on the railway track called Jules. He's the one that died, and I tried to get him off with Cherry, who I married in the end. We know he got killed in front of me. I think maybe October the 23rd. He fell on, you know, railway track, and you know, got electrocuted and he got killed. We tried to get him off, but fucked me up. But on that New Year's Eve, I did a lot of acid because I went to a psychedelic trance rave. You know, I'm a bit of a raver, so I did a lot of acid, and yeah, I had a massive. Like, you know, I think because of the trauma of what happened and then everything, and that acid, you know, kind of spilt all down my arm. Like someone spilt it down my arm. I had about 16 drops in my arm or something like that. So I went fucking up. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I went completely loopy. A lot of people said, "Hey, Pete, what happened? We saw you like running around naked, spiraling around," and I got arrested, and I fucking woke up in in hospital. But for me, what I experienced was I died and went to heaven, and I went to, I spiraled up to heaven and I saw everyone I've ever met again, and I had my whole kind of like death sequence. You know, it was like a beautiful ending to my life. It was fucking amazing. And this is kind of a long story short, because it can go on forever, but it was a fractal spiral to heaven. It was the ether, that everything was just, and I met everyone, got everything I never needed, all my things, you know, I was perfect Pete, and I was completely at peace, and, you know, I met Billy Idol, I met Jim Carrey, and they were all, you know, beautiful bursts of and you know what, the guy that died on the railway track, in my friend who died, he was the final guy who was waiting for me at the top, which was beautiful, and I came out of that, and I was in hell for 2 years, basically. I woke up in hospital, those police were looking at me, and there I was, completely frazzled, didn't know what the fuck happened to me, lost my memory, didn't know who I was, where I was, didn't know what, my soul was fucked. It's like I left it up there, I came back and I had no recollection of who I was anymore. Don't know who I was. Basically I became Pigtail Pete. I cut my hair into pigtails and I was a nutter. An absolute nutter. I had no idea. And all I wanted to do was get back to heaven, and that was my thing, because I thought it was my fault. I'm basically an acid casualty, you know what I mean? And I just kind of keep going every day, but like back then it was really bad, you know what I mean? That's when I lost my mind, basically. And for 2 years, those 2 years before Big Brother, I was trying to get myself, trying to remember, put the pieces back together and try to remember who I was, because I was completely, like, you know, broken. And
did you remember anything? Like who you were, your family and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, because I was, I knew who they were, but they weren't the perfect versions that I'd met in heaven. Right. Do you know what I mean? It was such a fucking weird, I was so brain fucked, because I met everyone who I know on earth, but in perfect form in heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when I was here in the human kind of experience form, I didn't understand, and I tried to tell everyone, but no one knew what I was on about, and I was completely crazy. And so it took me about 2 years to kind of get my head around it. And
real life must be really disappointing after
that.
Oh,
it's all right, you know what I mean? It's
at that point,
I was in hell for 2 years, basically. But look, I got on a lot of drugs after that, you know. I was fucking off my nut, you know what I mean? I had real bad like ketamine addiction, and I went and got on, like, the thing is about that ket addiction I had was I was really it actually was a bit of an antidepressant as well, because I was so depressed. I had despair every night. I wanted to kill myself. I was suicidal. I had no confidence. I got out to draw, dance, beat myself. I had stupid pigtails. I was running around like a nutter, like screaming, I'm finding the code to heaven, to all my friends. Oh, my God. They thought I was nuts, and I was completely mental. And I literally lost my nut. So, but that I got on the K, and I was really, it really kind of like got me out of the depression. And also it helped me remember stuff for some reason. It kind of went into that place in my head where I remembered who I was, and I kind of put the pieces back together. And in 2 years, I kind of started remembering what happened. That's how I can tell you about the spiral to heaven, what happened to me, and how I can tell you the whole story in like perfect detail, what happened to me. So I remember it now, and that made me remember myself. But after that 2 years, I remember thinking, I feel better now, and I cut my hair, cut the pigtails off, and I was like, I could look in the mirror, and I remembered myself. I was like, oh, that's me, look, it's Pete, yeah, wicked, yeah, it's Pete. So and I remember going, right, let's go to the party. Let's go to a party. Yeah, there was a party. It was summer. It was party time. And I was like, there was a psytrance party in a field. And I thought, well, you know, I'm feeling better now. I'll take some acid again. My mate said, I've got a little shit bit here. I didn't want too much. And I didn't want to like blow my mind again. Can I have a little bit? And I went, all right. And he said, oh, this has been in the cupboard for like a couple of years. It won't do much. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll be all right. Fuck it. Mate, it fucking blew my head off. It was like the strongest acid ever. And I was like, no! And he thought, I go to this party. And then the next thing you know, I'm at this party. And then suddenly I'm feeling the code to heaven again. And I'm like, fucking hell, my God. Here I am, the code to heaven. And everyone at the party, like, Pete, where are you going? I was like, I'm going, I'm fine, I found the code to heaven. So I started running down. When I ran down this path, with my eyes closed, my hair started going into my old mohawk in my head. And I saw Jim Carrey at the end going, this way, Pete. And I was like, ooh, and all these birds started tweeting past my eyes. And I saw people taking pictures of me, like paparazzi, loads of paparazzi going ka-ching, 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 like I was famous and I was going to be a movie. I'm in the movies, you know, I'm going to be a movie, I'm going to be in the movies, man. And like, so basically I felt like I was famous and I felt like I was being, like, all these pictures would be taking me. And then there was a movie screen at the end, and it was, so I went, I ran down the hill, and then I bumped into this bloke who was at the party called Kirky, but I didn't know his name then, but because basically I had no idea who he was. But when I opened my eyes and I went, whoa, hello. And he went, hi. I went, who are you? And he went, God. And I went, what? And he looked at me like, yep, giving me the hot, old, the big, like, all-knowing stare. And I went, oh. And as soon as I accepted that he was God, I went, fuck. And suddenly, whoosh, I was, like, floating in, like, clouds with this geezer. And he went, is there anything you want to ask me? And then I said, how do I get back to heaven? That was the only thing I could think of. And then I ended up suddenly being disconnected from him, and then I started spiraling down, and spiraling down the hill, like tumbling down the hill. I'm smashing into the fucking, into the, well, let's just call them zombies. Yeah, like these things were, like these beings were like grabbing me and pulling me down, and you know, into hell, you know, they were grabbing me, and all these like nettles were coming up, and the crows were flying around, and I was like, shit. And I was like going, I went up the spiral to heaven, but this time I was going down to hell. So basically I had to go down to hell, fucking hell. And I, oh my God. But before I got to the very end of the, where I completely lost, like, my, you know, because in heaven you get there, but I didn't want to, but as soon as I, before I got to the complete end and ended up in hell forever, I ended up holding on, and suddenly I just remembered that this cherry appeared, and I suddenly remembered everything I loved about life. And then, because I grabbed onto that, it was weird. I kind of suddenly was able to work my way out of hell, and I started remembering stuff. It was weird. It was like God was giving me a lesson. It was weird, man. I was just, and each time I kind of learnt each lesson that he was telling me, the birds would tweet again, and I started tweeting. Like, all the birds were tweeting, and it was kind of making me feel more with it. And anyway, cut a long story short, because this goes on forever, I kind of get out of the hell bit, right? I get out of the spiral that's going up, and I get into a good place, and I'm like, and this is where shit goes down. I went back in. I basically sat there and was like, and then, like, my friend said, come out to me randomly, and said, there's someone who wants to speak to you. And I went, who's it? And I was like, and then suddenly I went, what? It's, and I felt it, and I said, "What? Well, it's Jules." And it was the guy, who my friend, who died on the railway track. And then, as soon as I accepted it, because at first I thought it was too far fetched. And as soon as I accepted it, this fucking apparition of him came down and said, "Hey, man, you're not having a good time, are you?" I went, "No, I'm bloody not. I'm having a fucking..." And I was chatting to him in spirit like that. And next thing you know, I said, how do I get back to heaven? You know what I mean? The same sort of thing. This is the story. And then he went, look over there at that building. So I looked over there at the building. There was a massive, like, warehouse in the building, far away in that party. And he goes, I looked at it, and suddenly this warehouse turned into the Big Brother house. Yeah, isn't that mad? It turned into the Big Brother house, and it was the Big Brother house. And he said, you know what you've got to do. And I fucking knew. I knew. He said, "You're gonna go. That's the way to back to heaven. You're gonna go and win Big Brother, and that's the way you get. And you know, basically, you're gonna win Big Brother." I was like, "Oh, okay, sweet." So that was it. So as soon as I knew what I had to do to get myself back to heaven and get myself, I pulled my pants up, and, like, you know, because all my fucking clothes had fallen off and shit like that. Fucking hell, man, like, dangling out everywhere. Like, I can't, like, piss myself. Well, I was like, off my nut. And anyway, got there. I fucking, yeah, got back to the party. And as soon as I got back home, you know what I mean? I ended up, just found the audition. Was it number seven? Yeah. I auditioned for number five ages ago, but I wasn't confident enough. I was just like, you know. But this time I was really, this was that. I mean, I had to go through all that to know that this was the time. This was the time. So yes, this is one. This is one. So I went straight down there. I auditioned. As soon as I went, hi, I'm Perfect Pete. Yes, I've got Tourette's, and you know what I mean. Yes, then they just went whoa, and they gave me a star, and they put me all the way through to the end round any more. You know, I didn't have to audition again and again and do all the little fucking tasks and trying to. I was just in. You know what I mean? I was like fucking hell. As soon as I did, So then I went. They hid me in Belgium for 2 weeks. Had no idea, and then I just walked in to Big Brother, knowing that I was going to win the whole time, because I had this complete faith and complete, you know, like belief in when everything that just happened to me and being told by my mate who died on the railway track, by in a spirit form on acid, that I was going to win Big Brother 7 to get back to being Pete again, you know what I mean? Which is what I lost. I lost my identity. I was Peter Stevenson before Big Brother, and I came out as Pete Bennett. So I kind of renamed myself, became Pete Bennett.
Yeah, and do you feel it? That is one serious trip.
It's a big up trip, man. And you know what's weird about it? The actual logo of Big Brother was a spiral. Mm. It was a spiral that year, and I didn't even know. And I was like, no way. And they put a bloke in Big Brother 7, who was a spiral as well. He's called Spiral, sorry. He's not, yeah.
They put
an Irish bloke called Spiral in there as well. And it was, for me, it was like little signs, you know. I was like, whoa, this is weird, man. That, out of all the logos they could have chosen for the eye, it was a spiral, and they put a kind of spiral. It kind of gave me a little bit of like a...
You knew you were going to win it.
At that time, I did see a lot of signs. You know what I mean? I was a right trip head. You know what I mean? And I was, yeah, I saw signs everywhere, and those were signs for me. I'm like, wow. Anyway, I fucking won, and I was like, yeah. And I was more excited and like happy about not winning, but the fact that I got back to heaven. That was it. That was what I was going mad for.
And was it heaven when you won?
Yeah, it was for a bit, you know, until, you know, life happened. Life happened, and, you know, it was hard after, really fucking hard, you know. Lots of really hard, horrible things happened.
Because you couldn't walk down the street. I mean, I love seeing you on the street now, and everyone knows you still.
Everyone still love me. They're still going, hey, on the way here, I've had about 5 different people beeping and shouting. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, hey, all right, mate, yeah, like, you know what I mean? So everyone...
Yeah, I mean, you're still super famous. How long ago was it?
Probably about fucking... 2006, wasn't it? Yeah,
so I can't work out the maths, but a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was hard. Life's hard, but all that stuff's happened. Well, my best friend Wobbly Bob died of cancer afterwards. You know, same time Jade Goody was dying of cancer. So, you know, it was hard because everyone was like pumping out Jade Goody's, and I didn't care, because I was actually in the hospice with Wobbly Bob, who was in my band Daddy Fantastic. Well, I was in his band, and he was the guitar player. He was my best friend in the whole world, and we did pictures together. And we drew like a massive bromance, and he got cancer and died afterwards, and it sent me down, man. It still fucks me up today. But you know,
Nicky died recently.
Oh mate, that was fucking horrible. Yeah, that's traumatised me. That has recently. I haven't been able to kind of get it out of my head. Kind of when I'm working, like, you know, digging and that, you know, I kind of have this horrible. Like, you know when you get stuck on a fort and you're just like, it's just there and going over it and over it and over it, and you know what I mean? Because there was a lot of shit that happened just because I went and did, and you know, that and helped her or tried to give her support, and then Imogen Thomas put a thing out saying, oh, I've betrayed Nicky because of, I don't know, it was weird, like, because I put a picture of us cuddling and, you know, put a link underneath saying, please help support the fund, because I thought that would help get lots of attention. You could see that, you know, I was using my platform to try and raise money for Nicky's thing, and then I got shit from Imogen. I ended up having a go about it, and then she put out that I betrayed her.
Well, for anyone who doesn't know, so Nikki, you know what I mean? You and Nikki developed a relationship, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
You weren't natural people to go together, but we were completely opposite, if you look at it, you both seem to have had a lot of trauma and stress in your lives. That's the way I sort of saw it.
It was weird, yeah. We had a weird connection. She loved me, you know what I mean? And that's why I thought, you know what, I'm going to go and see her and sort her out and give her support. And, you know, even seeing her really did traumatise me, just the shock of seeing how bad she was. I don't know, I had blind faith she'd get better if I was supporting her. And, you know what I mean, that's just kind of, must be, I'm a bit mad. Maybe I thought maybe I was a bit high or something, you know what I mean? Because I did think I could save her. Well, that's just me being... You know, look at me. I can make things happen. I can win Big Brother. You know, look at me. I thought I could. You know what I mean? Sometimes I can.
Some people can't be rescued.
Yeah, I know. I can. Yeah, I run away with the fairies sometimes and think I can. You know, make miracles happen. But you know, sometimes
you might be a little bit mad, but you've got a really good heart.
Do you know what I mean? That's what I mean. I tried my best. I did try my best, but I got then it's because of the shit I got and like that Imogen thing that came out. That's traumatised me. I mean, I was there for Nikki, which was good, and I cried my eyes out when she died on set when I was filming Green Fingers, the sitcom on Amazon. And the second day of filming, I was told that she died. But I still had to film the rest of the sitcom knowing she died, and I was like, oh my god, like, totally like. Just hanging in there and trying my best to like film a comedy. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, how the fuck am I supposed to do that? Anyway, yeah. So after that happened, I went down to London and chatted about it. But I was in bits. You know, the TV wanted me to talk about it. But I was in absolute bits because you know when you're trying to help someone and you have the whole, you know, you put your heart into something and then it just crashes and yeah, you know I mean, it fucks you up. Especially when you're getting shit off someone and then it spreads around the internet and you know what I mean?
It's I think like, the trouble is it must be so hard to not to worry about what people think when everyone has an opinion.
I know,
that's
it's horrible.
The thing about the internet is that people can hide behind...
Yeah.
No, they don't even hide their name sometimes, but behind that sort of cloak of safety that they're sitting in their own home just bashing shit about people.
I know, they don't... Like, honestly, there really is... There's got to be something done about it because... People can kill themselves.
Yeah.
And I felt like that. When it was all coming out of that, all that shit, I literally felt like fucking top of myself because I've never felt that much, like, honestly, that was another level of, I don't know what it was. I've never felt that before. I was shaking. I was literally shaking, like, with I don't know if it was rage or fear or anger or just anxiety or something, but... I did my best and I got a load of shit for it and it fucked me up, you know what I mean? So
you just got to ignore them, you know? And also, you have an amazing life here in Brighton.
Yeah.
It's really good, lovely friends. You've got to see it out till the end.
No, I do, I do. But, you know, it does haunt me. It does haunt me. And I love Nikki and, you know, I just wish that it ended better, you know, fucking hell. You know what I mean? I just didn't want to have to go through trauma because of it. I wanted to, you know...
You wanted to help her.
I wanted to help her and I wanted to feel... good about it instead of getting shit for it, you know what I mean? It sucks, life sucks basically, life is shit, you know what I mean? So I've had a lot of therapy since then and you know I mean it's sorted me out, but yeah, you know.
I told you we weren't going to talk that much about travel.
I don't know, but I have travelled, we have done
yeah,
some.
Yeah, let's do it, we've travelled, oh my god, we've been to heaven, we've been
I've travelled to heaven, it's pretty good out there, man.
We've been to South London
and back
to Brighton.
Yeah, man.
So you did go to Hollywood, didn't you, after...
I went to Hollywood,
after Big Brother.
Yeah, I got this bird coming out, I can't say her name because obviously, like, just in case, but yeah, she's, hey Petey, I got a film role for you. We're gonna have Will Ferrell in it. Oh my god, you're gonna be starring with Will Ferrell. I was like, is it though? Oh yes then, alright, come on then, that'd be brilliant. So she got me all psyched up, hyped up, and she got this script that she wants me to go over and read and like meet the agent. So I was like, yeah, so I got a plane over there, like, you know what I mean? Let's say like I got there. She weren't there. Like, where is she? She was late. She got the day wrong. Anyway, she came in the end and got me. And I can't go into, like,
Why are you afraid they're listening?
No, maybe. I don't want to describe this person too much. Let's just say that they had a chair made this for the size of her. Anyway, it was a big chair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was like, whoa, that's a fucking big chair, man. That's like, you know what I mean? I was like, shit, man. So,
anyone who needs a customised chair for the size of their arms is quite large.
Like, whoa, man, that's a big ass chair.
Literally a big ass chair.
Yeah, it's a big chair. Anyway, look, so it was kind of like, she did not have a script there. There was nothing there. She was a bit, she smoked a lot of weed, man, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, I was kind of excited about just getting there and, you know, but yeah, there wasn't, a month had passed and nothing had happened. And she's, you know, I had to meet the agent she wanted me to meet. And the agent was late too. She turned up really late and she goes, sorry I'm late, I shit myself.
You know? No, she did.
Yeah, she shit herself because she was old and she actually was late because she shit herself. Like, oh,
she
wicked.
Said this, that.
Yeah, man. So, and then she looked at me and went, you gotta stop doing all that, you know, like making fun of my Tourette's, and you gotta lose the accent. I'm like,
what?
I thought you were really excited to meet me. Different story when I actually met her. So I was like, okay, so this agent was, you know, hyped up to me, didn't give a fuck about me. The script was nowhere. Anyway, when she said, are you all right? And one day I said, look, man, can you please stop smoking that? There's, you know, I want to get on with this project you got me here for. I'm really stressed out. I would like to get on with the project. Ended up, wankers! she got really angry and, you know, ended up just you're making it really awkward for me. And I threw the remote control at me and I just thought, you know what, fucking, I've got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here, man. So I darted. I literally darted with no money. into Hollywood. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna be fucking. So I was running around like, yeah, Hollywood, fucking shit, man. I found a hostel somewhere and stayed there a couple of days. But it was nuts, man. Like, Hollywood's a messed up place, man. Like, it's not all lovely razzmatazz as you think it is. It's a right shithole. You know what I mean? It's the biggest shithole I've ever fucking been in my life. Do you know what I mean? I thought maybe I did go to hell. You know what I mean? Like, fucking hell.
It was worse than
hell.
Oh,
my God. There was people speaking to bins, man. Like, I was like, hey, how you doing? Fucking hell. Everyone wants your money. You walk down the street and there's someone, everyone that chats to you has got a little kind of secret agenda, let's just put it that way, that they want your money. So I'm like, whoa, everyone's just like literally scraping by to try and get money off you, every single person. There was a shooting opposite the opposite the thing I was staying at. And I don't know,
did you go to Mexico?
This is the thing, right, I went to San Diego, right? Because I had a friend over there who used to go partying with. He went, hey, man, come stay with me in San Diego. You know, I got a floor, you know, you can stay on there, man. So I was like, yeah, okay.
Floor, brilliant.
So I stayed on his floor. So I managed to get out of Hollywood and run away from all the people dressed up as Spider-Man trying to mug me. I ended up going to San Diego. It's a much more chilled out place, actually. It's a bit nicer than this. It's nicer than San Diego. I liked it. It was kind of calm and, you know, nice and chilled out. But I had no money still. I was like, shit. And so I was thinking, how do I get some money, you know? I'm like, I gotta have no money, man. You know what I'm saying? So ended up thinking, shit, I'm going to have to just get home. You know, I'm going to have to find how to get home. But then I got a 3-month visa, didn't I? Luckily, randomly, sort of by cosmic force, my friend said, this is a friend of mine, I can't say names obviously, but she said, hey, I might have found a job for you. I was like, oh, thank God, what is it? He said, cutting weed on a farm. I was like, fucking way, really? Yeah, you gotta go to Santa Cruz, man. I was like, what the fuck? Okay, so I ended up, we got to do it tonight. I was like, shit. So I scrambled the thing and I fucking got my shit together, got on the nearest coach and darted it to Santa Cruz and got picked up by whoever and I ended up fucking, yeah, I was up on a huge mountain and I was sitting there cutting weed for the next month. I was like, yes, then, this is sick. I was fucking making loads of money. Yeah, man, I was like, it was good shit, you know. It was fucking...
Is it legal? I don't know. Or was it? I don't know what the...
Oh, yeah, was, completely legal.
Yeah, illegal.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know.
Who knows, eh?
Because it is legal now.
Yeah,
it
wasn't there. It's legal now.
Yeah.
Let's go. It was good.
Okay, let's go get a job cutting weed.
No, mate. Oh, God. Was
it hard work?
Oh, yeah. It was hard, mate. These huge. Oh, mate. I've never seen anything like it. Because, like, massive fucking. The biggest thing that I cut it all down, snipped off all the things and. You know what I mean? And yeah, it was like, but then, like, you know, I was making, but I think I made about 4,000 quid, you know what I mean? At the end of it. But, like, I nearly didn't get out of there, you know, because, like, and one night we were just sleeping and I woke up because it was like, I could hear this noise, like, and I was like, I kept waking up, and I kind of come in too, and then I realized that the noise was actually fire, there's a fire, fire. I was like, what? So I was like, oh shit, they're staying fire. And we were in the cabin on top of this a mountain. And guess where the fire was? In the trees down below. And they were all coming towards us. And I was like, oh fuck. And I got out of the fucking cabin, smashed all my shit, because I was like, oh, I was in panic. Because I looked at the sky and it was red. I was like, oh my God, there's a fucking fire, man. I literally, for the first time, thought, oh, I'm gonna die. I'm in a forest fire. And I was in a forest fire, and knowing all the fires were there. Yeah, I was in one. I was like, oh fuck. And how did we get out? We couldn't get down the mountain because there was no path. All the other people's houses who were down the mountain, who were doing other things, you know, there was probably a fucking another few little factories going on here and there, were all up in flames. They were gone, you know what I mean? Then they were all like driving up on their mobility carts going, get out of here, man, the fire is coming, man. And it was like, so I was like, oh no, what have I done? I'm gonna die, man. I'm gonna fucking kill. I'm so gutted. All I could think about was my mum. I was like, oh, what I thought about was mum. I'm so sorry, man. I'm gonna fucking die. And I needed to take a shit. Because I was like, mate, if I'm going to die, I'm gonna die happy. So I thought...
Also in a field of burning weed.
Do you know what I mean? So I found a really nice bush, went for my last shit. Because that's all I could think about. I was like, take them down. And I did a really nice dump. And I remember that. It was like, you know, and I felt, I'm at peace. Okay, now I'm at peace. I'm ready to go. And yeah.
And what happened?
What happened is, right, so the actual what we did, we went we all kind of scrambled bits together because the guy who owned it said we got to try and get out of here, man. So like, you know, we got in this thing and ended up driving up the mountain and over, but it wasn't really like, you know, accessible either. It wasn't, there was like a gate like stopping it, and we had to like try and get to like get the gate open, and you know what I mean, but there was no one there to open the gate, you know what I mean. So we finally managed to get the gate open somehow. I think someone might have come and saved us, but if that gate hadn't have opened, then the fire would have come up, you know, like. But luckily, like, so we drove, we got out of there, and we got onto the road, and there was smoke everywhere, and we were just like, fucking, and we went up and over to look down at the where the fire is, and mate, it was this huge, like miles of wide, like fire, this huge forest was on fire, man. And we were just lucky to escape, because all the other guys down, all the other fucked. But yeah, so the next day, like, oh, I was like, whoa, man, that was fucking close, man. I literally thought I was gonna die, and it was like, yeah. So I ended up staying in the hotel. Next day, I went and helped pick up some stuff and that, get it out and that, because there was sheriffs running around everywhere. I was like, fucking hell. So it was like really like, wow, it was intense times, man. It was like, oh my God. Ended up, yeah. But you know what? It didn't get up to the top.
So the weed was all right.
Yeah, it was right. Excellent. Yeah, man. Yeah, so we went
that's
back.
The main thing,
so
right?
We went back and smoked some Zoots, man. You know, we're like, hey, yeah, it was good. That weed was cool, man. So, yeah, business was all right.
How did you get from there to Mexico? I thought you went from there to Mexico.
Nah, that's how I got the money for Mexico.
Right.
Yeah, see, I can't just go from no money to Mexico, no, right? Yeah, so get the money. So I ended up like, yeah, fucking, the time was up. I went down back to Hollywood to meet Felix, who was my girlfriend at the time, and yeah, she always said, oh, Mexico was great, because all the Hollywood guys in America, they're like, you're going to Mexico? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, mate, you gotta be careful, you know, and you gotta be real careful, you know. And I'm like, why? Because you'll get murdered, you know, and they're fucking really bad people. I'm like,
They're shooting people over the roads, by the way, in Hollywood.
Yeah, next to a dead body. That's just right. So I was like, oh, well, I'll take my chances anyway. But yeah, like, literally, got there, got the plane to Mexico, and I had the best time of my life. Honestly, mate, Mexico is the most beautiful fucking place I've ever been. I mean, I've been to Vietnam, I've been to Thailand and all that, and other places, France, bollocks, and that, but you know what I mean? But like, do you know what I mean? I think Mexico, whoa. I mean, you hear all this bad story about it, but it's literally, arriba, ding, 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 ding. It's like, yes, dude, it's like an ultimate party, man. Like, everyone's just walking down the street with these fucking huge trumpets. All the time, you're just sitting there, and there's the people banging drums and fucking trumpeting all over the place, and everyone's like, hey, taco, you know what I mean? All fucking off their nut on tequila, and it's so beautiful, all the colours, and all the little streets, and the cobbled stones, and all the little midgets running around with the little, like, you know what I mean? Because you get really short Mexicans, don't you? You know what I mean? Oh, they're so cute, you know what I mean?
We're not sure we can call them midgets.
No, you can't say that. Yeah, that's another word you can't say. Sorry, it's my Tourette's, man.
Short Mexican. Short stature.
Yeah, little ones. Oh, look, there's Damien. Hey!
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, Damien.
Hey, some of a friend just walking past the window.
Yeah, but yeah. It's downstairs D. But it was, I met you three, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
well, and Steve, anyway.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so I absolutely loved it, and yeah, had a brilliant time. I don't know what to say. I just went. We went to something called Oaxaca. That was it. It was a Day of the Dead festival, Halloween, weren't it? Halloween is, you know, because they love dead people over there. Over here, we were like, oh, he's like, there's a dead body.
Yeah, let's hide it.
They celebrate it. They were like literally dancing around. Like, it was the best Halloween I've ever had. You know what I mean? There was. It was just beautiful, like, parades of huge costumes, all, like, dead kind of, like, you know, monsters and Jack Skeletons and party and drumming and fireworks kicking off in the street. It's, like, loads of, like, it was just an amazing party, like, it was a festival. And there were just people in graveyards just fucking having it large portions, do you know what I mean? Really good. And I was, wow, it was beautiful, and everyone was so, so lovely and sweet, I just found the Mexican people to be, you know, I know they got a lot of shit, but they're really lush and friendly, and they've got good energy, and they make you, and it's weird, it's like I clicked with Mexicans more than anyone I've, you know, anywhere I've ever been with. I went to Mexico and I felt at home, you know what I mean? I felt like I was at home, yeah, and I really want to go back and live there, you know.
This is like totally random, but haven't the Mexicans really embraced Morrissey? Don't they have a massive thing for Morrissey?
Is that
the Smiths?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. I was just thinking about you really embracing them and them really embracing Morrissey.
I loved them, man. I thought I just loved everyone. I loved the way they decorate and I love the tacos and the street food and the, you know what I mean, just it's so like, oh, and it tastes amazing and it's just brilliant, you know. There's some mad shit goes on there, man. I went down to this village because I don't like going to tourist places. I went down to this village, got no idea where it is because I can't remember any of the names. What is this church? Yeah, where's this church? And it was like this crazy, I don't know. You said they're not allowed to take pictures there because there's you know, but their religion, I was like, what is this religion? Because there was I walked in, there was a chicken walking around inside the church, right? And I'm like, oh, right, there's a chicken. Okay, cool, I'll deal with that. There's a chicken in the church. but not just any chicken. This chicken sucks evil spirits out of your daughters, basically. So I was like, right. So then,
best type of chicken.
This bird, right, got this chicken. Her daughter was kneeling down, and then the mum got this chicken by the legs and start waving this chicken around the daughter, like, and saying some like Mexican Spanish, like, arriba, I don't know what she was saying, but fuck me, but she was waving this chicken, and this chicken was going and like, I was like, what the fuck's going on? And apparently I said, why is she doing that with the chicken? And he said, oh yeah, she's what's it, cleansing the daughter from like evil spirits. I was like, oh right, safe. And then the next thing you know, the chicken fucking pegs it, like goes and just goes and suddenly just dies. So that when the chicken dies, that's the evil spirit's dead. Hey, come on, because it sucked all the evil spirit out. Chicken dies, and then they eat the chicken. And then I was like, fucking hell. So, I mean, but all, you know, religion is kind of a...
it's all a bit of a dead chicken.
It's all a bit strange, isn't it? I mean, there's all these funny little... But that was out there, I mean... That is. Crazy.
I want to live inside your head. When you're happy, yeah. I want to live inside your head because it looks such fun. It really does.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I am. I do. No, I've got.
I'm not saying the chicken wasn't there. I'm sure it was there.
No, I know. It was a black chicken. I remember it. It was just. But it was. But yeah,
totally
and apparently, I could have asked the church to chicken
to cleanse
me,
you
to give me a get the cleansing, you know, because Hollywood had, you know, and the Santa Cruz thing.
Well, you still can. I mean, there's plenty of chickens in Brighton.
I don't think it works in Brighton. I think if I just went up to some fucking what's it called, a butcher's, and said, "Oi, mate, can you whack a chicken on me head and I have to cleanse my soul because I've had a hard day?"
There's a beautiful church down the road we could go in with just, a live chicken. Because of course it has to be a live. It can't be like a roast chicken.
No, I guess it has to be a live chicken. I know. But we're going to get a live chicken. And just like, yeah, let it loose in a church.
Yeah, there must be a place. Funny enough, they've got a big thing for cockfighting over there. My brother, who's a musician, plays in like some famous people that are really big and really famous in Mexico. The man's called Diego Verdaguer.
Yeah.
And he's like around Rod Stewart sort of status in Mexico.
Mm.
So my brother has gigged all around Mexico in cockfighting rings.
Yeah.
So they have cockfights.
Yeah.
And then after the cockfight, when everyone's sort of like, you know, going crazy and putting money on it, and the cocks are cocks chickens? I don't know. Anyway, cockfighters, are they like male chickens?
Is cocks are...
And a chicken is a hen. Oh, I don't know.
And then they're doing cocks. Well, I can't believe we're talking about cocks already. Cocks.
Well, it's been almost an hour to get there.
Just get it out of the way. Big fatting cocks.
We didn't even have to rely on the Tourette's to get to the cocks.
So you did that.
So they have these cockfights,
right?
And then they have a big band play afterwards, like really famous people. Yeah.
Yeah,
my brother said it was terrifying because like people with guns and sort of sexy women sort of looking at him, and they're like really angry looking partners looking at him as well.
Oh mate, that's hardcore, man. Because you can't. I saw a lot of chained up cocks.
Yeah.
We are still speaking about chickens here. Where was it? Because he's chained up cocks everywhere. Because there's loads of hens. They get these little. I don't know where I was. Was it Thailand or Vietnam? Anyway, it might have been Mexico because you go to the beach and there's a man there with a little hut, and for some reason there's like hundreds of chickens. But there's all these little. But there's a few places where there's like chained up cock and like. One in a cage, and like they're never allowed to, intermingle. You know what I mean? But the hens are allowed to just, you know, just get on with their day. You know what I mean? Because you can't. They just fight to the death. That's the thing. Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, and people put money on it. Maybe we should bring that over here as well.
Yeah, I won a few quid. No, I didn't really.
But, oh God, I could talk to you for hours. No, but like we've almost done an hour, so
Everyone's still listening, aren't you? Yeah, come on in.
Yeah, where do we go next? Vietnam. I love Vietnam.
Vietnam, I'll go to Vietnam. Bloody hell! Oh, that was even further ago, weren't it? Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was before this happened. Wankers! It was Vietnam. Yeah. Oh man, that was just beautiful.
So beautiful, isn't it?
I loved it. I just loved Vietnam and the Vietnamese people, and I don't know. I've never driven a bike before or a car, but fuck it, I went and got one, and I went, right, let's go. And I just drove.
It's been the death of many tourists, but it's fun.
I just drove. I just fucking got a bike. Me and Felix, who was on a bike, I was driving from the Hoi An to Hanoi.
Hoi An is my favourite place in the world.
Was it the other way around? Because they sound the same.
Hanoi is at the top, and then Hoi An is halfway down, a beautiful fishing village.
We started from Hoi An. And we went all the way to Hanoi, right? Or something like that. But we didn't get to Hanoi because, didn't get there in time because we had about this amount of time. But yeah, man, we just drove up the Man, it was mad.
The roads are crazy.
I was dodging all the shit in the roads, man. And I was dodging all the dogs that were in cages because they're going to be eaten. And I was like, whoa, that fucked me up, man. Like, literally, they love golden retrievers for some reason.
So yeah, actually, I've never seen the dogs. I've been past the streets where they've got dog restaurant in Hanoi.
Have you?
But I've never seen them chained up. Are they actually normal looking dogs?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, these were golden retrievers.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah, there was a big fucking, you know, like.
Because you expect them to be like, other type of looking dogs.
No, this is just a normal,
just
lovely
a normal
dog.
Pet that we
and it's just weird. It fucks you up. You know what I mean? Because yeah, it's like looking at a pig thing. You know, when you get those pig things like the fucking van, and there's pigs' noses hanging out. Mm. Just replace it with nice little doggies. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, shit, man.
You don't eat meat either, do you?
No.
But look, like when you think about it, it's like, what's the difference between a dog and a pig?
I know there isn't.
I know a lot of people will say there is, but.
If we had pigs for pets here and instead of dogs, you know what I mean? Mm. Anyway, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know where I'm going with that.
I'm thinking, like, and now I'm back to like puppies being thrown at you in churches, what? Cleansing you with the,
hit me
with the puppy, or a little piglet.
Any animal, dude, just fucking lob it at me head. I need cleansing, right? Fucking hell. Wankers! I can't really remember what to say about Vietnam. Let's just say it was the most eye-catching, beautiful scenery and just, I don't know, like, wow, what happened? God, it's a faint memory. I mean, we went around, when I was travelling, we went couch surfing. We didn't ever go to hotels. We had this app where, like, you choose, people want to have you, you know, they're like, oh, Westerners, yeah, come in and, you know, come and stay on the sofa in my family's house. It's called couch surfing. Yeah. So you get to learn and meet real people instead of going to tourist places, getting a hotel. You go to the real no tourist places and stay on people's couches and stuff. And so you go and meet families and you have a really nice time and an adventure and meet real people and get to know people. It's really lush, yeah. So yeah, I remember, yeah, I'm trying to remember now. Yeah, you stayed at a few funny places, yeah. Yeah, well, God, I'm trying to think of something. Where did I stay? God.
Do you want to go back? Do you want to do more travelling? The pandemic has been a bit weird for
India,
us all, hasn't
this
it?
Is what I'm really missing out on is India. I haven't been to India yet, and that's...
India seems like a place where you should go.
Yeah, I know I'm a big chilli freak. I can eat the hottest chillies ever, and I've stitched myself up eating chillies. Fucking hell, the burger I ate in Brighton, I ate the whole thing and ended up in hospital. like thinking I was a big man, but like, this stuff's fucking hotter than pepper spray.
Sorry, how can you eat a burger in Brighton and end up in hospital?
Because it's like the triple X burger. Like, you know, try this, triple X burger. Let's do it for a magazine shoot. Yeah, brilliant. That's a good idea. So they fucking did it. They stitched me right up. Because they didn't know that I'm a fucking chili head and I'd eat anything. Thing is, though, that chili was like poisonous, fucking hot pepper spray times maximum bumbaclot. You know what I mean? It was fucked my shit up, and I ended up
literally fucked my shit up.
I literally was in hospital, like dying for 12 hours, and they were laughing my heads off while I was crawling at the floor with my fucking clothes off. I was literally ripping my clothes off, can't breathe, with like worst stomach cramps ever.
Oh, the people at the hospital are like, God, this was like, the guy with the spiral and the God dream.
No, they said that's the dumbass who ate the burger. And I was like, and they literally, I heard the nurses fucking just laughing their heads off. Like, yeah, I ate a burger. Oh, not another one. Oh, twat. You know what I mean? I was like gutted. Anyway, so
I like
chili. But now people walk around going, oh, are you that guy that ate the burger? Instead of, are you Pete from Big Brother? I'm like,
you're
no, I'm the burger guy.
Was it for a TV show? No, you can drink, by the way.
It was for a magazine. I didn't get anything for it. I just got a fucking, I just got a really bad.
Just got a day in hospital.
Oh, my dick fucking, I was pissing hot. I was like, ow, literally, I've never had that before. a stingy dick from chili.
Where can I get one of these burgers?
Don't go near it. Don't even go near it. But India, I want to go there because I was born because of an Indian curry. I think it fucked up my mum's, what was it?
Contraception?
Wankers! Yeah! It was a thing that might have been gone off or something. I think this is it.
Oh, like taking the pill.
I don't know.
That can, if you're sick and then you vomit up your pill, you can absolutely get pregnant.
I think
because you're not protected.
I think that's the story.
I love it. You were born because of an Indian curry.
I think so, yeah. And
it's destiny.
You know what I mean? I've got a real you know, it was gone off. She puked up. I think that's what happened. This is what I've been. Maybe I've got it wrong. Sorry,
man.
But if not, yeah. But like, she kept me anyway because she loves me, and everyone else was like, get rid of it. And she's like, no, fuck off. I'm gonna keep him, which is great. But I ended up having Tourette's. That's all right, because you know what I mean. I've spread awareness. But fucking hell, India! I want India because I like Indian people. I love it. I love Indians. I actually love Indians. I think they look sick, and I've heard about. I've just loved, good sick.
Because I'm half Indian, by the way. So
are
I'm
you?
Good sick.
Oh,
yeah,
are you?
Sick, yeah.
Oh wow, you're Indian. Yeah, man. Not like sick, as in vomit.
No,
sick,
yeah, yeah, not vomit. Yeah.
All right.
We've done enough vomit and shit.
I want to go to India. I want to go to India. I can't. I mean, all my friends say how amazing it is. And it's going to be the time, you know, it's like a real culture shock. Oh, have you been? Oh, you've obviously been there.
Yeah, I've been, but no, my family are from Fiji, but they're 100% Indian blood.
Wow.
But I have been.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, it is like almost psychedelic, you know, without actually having to do any drugs.
I know, that's what I've heard. I've heard it's like...
It's hard work.
There's a vibration there that is like no other or something.
Definitely.
And I'm all about that, you know what I mean? I like that vibe, and I think I really fit in there.
Now's the time to go. Like, borders are opening again.
Yeah, I know. It's all borders. I don't think there's many restrictions or anything. So, and I, you know, I don't want to go to some country where I have to, you know...
quarantine or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And it's really bad what they're doing. But it doesn't matter. I don't want to go into all that.
Yeah, no. The travel is the fun stuff.
I want to get to India and fucking bosh, you know what I mean? Have a spiritual experience. And I think, yeah, I can feel it in my bones. I just know it's coming soon. But
I think wherever you go, you're going to have a great experience.
Oh, I think they'll love
me. You'll have a proper experience.
Oh, Peter, yeah. Nice to meet you, Peter. I love you. I love you to meet you. I love you very much. Thank you very much. But the thing is, though, I want to eat all the chili. I want to eat every fucking spicy food I can get my hands on and just eat the hottest stuff because I'm absolutely chili mad and I get such a buzz from eating chili. So if I could just go on a chili eating kind of challenge in India, I'd just love it.
It's the most amazing dream
coming
true. Really?
I know. And the people and just the culture, I think they're...
I'm thinking about your mum. It's your birthright. It's your
destiny. Yeah, I know. Yeah, man. Like, hey, guess what?
I'm
like half curry.
I'm a child of curry.
Oh, yeah.
I got told I was a child of the sunshine the other day, but no, you're a child of a chicken tikka.
Chicken tikka masala. Yeah. Yes, then. I am the masala. Should I say that?
I love the way you did that. I'm going to ask you my last question.
I've got no more questions.
I'm just making it up. I've got no questions written down.
Okay, cool.
My last question is always about music. And as someone who loves music and a musician, you might find this one quite interesting. You might find it hard to answer. But I always ask everyone to choose one song that reminds you of a place and time of travel. If you had to choose one song, what is that song and where were you?
Okay.
It's not, the funny thing is of this one, it's not everyone's favourite music. They happen to be listening to something. You've got one already. Love it.
Yeah, it goes like this. Bing dang doing, dang dong dang, bing dang doing, ring dang dong, bing dang ting dang dong.
I actually think I know that one. Ring dang ting dang dong, bing dang ding dong. It's in Vietnam.
Yes, that's how do you
or
know?
Thailand.
No, that's Vietnam. Basically, that reminds me of when we were driving through Vietnam and we got lost and family took us in. We have no idea. We slept on their hard table, on a table in the living room the night, but they made us do karaoke. They were very entertaining us with karaoke. And because they love it out there. So we had a little karaoke machine. And I remember just, all you got to do is like follow the words and go ding dang ting ding bong ding bang ding. And they were looking at me like, whoa, he's really good, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, I love karaoke. I'm a fucking freak. I love fucking karaoke as well. But that song, but I don't think there's any songs I can remember, like proper songs, you know what I mean? Like, but that I can only remember that one, remind me of being in Vietnam. If I hear it again, I'll be like, oh yeah.
Do you know what? It actually sounded like a proper song. I think that was actually a really good rendition of a song that I've heard in Vietnam as well. That might be my song that I choose too.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any other ones.
No. Oh, thank you so much. That's been the best.
Wicked! Oh, wicked! And Love Dogs, if you want to listen to my band, Love Dogs with a Z at the end, one word. Love Dogs. Da-na-na-na-na-na. Check out the Facebook page because, there's a plug there. I've got a band called Love Dogs, innit?
Just not ones to eat.
No, I don't. I do love dogs, but I don't want to eat them. I don't want to eat a dog. I probably have tried dogs when I wasn't such a fussy. I mean, I don't eat meat now, but when I was in Vietnam and whatever it was, I ate anything. I ate some stuff that I just didn't give a shit. I thought, if they're eating it, I'm eating it too. Yeah. I'm not going to be fussy. I'm going to get into their culture. So I fucking ate like some right shit, you know what I mean?
Oh, they did crickets, oh,
I loved them.
Oh,
yummy.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, loved it. I smashed cockroaches and crickets, garlic crickets. I had half a duck's head. So I was like, munch that. And there was like jellyfied chicken feet and a bowl of that. And I was like, I'd munched all that.
Have you seen the chicken eggs that are half-formed chickens in them? So yeah, it's like a boiled egg, almost like a dinosaur.
I know, I've seen that.
Yeah, with a dead bird in it.
I didn't eat that. But whatever I was given, I ate. I didn't ever go, what's that, and poke it. I said, you know, and there was some like really rank fucking fish stuff. Was it like fermented fish shit? And no one, even the right mind, goes near it. And I ate the whole thing. I loved it. I was like, yes, then, come on.
Bring me your fermented
Give me your food. I love it if I love food. Anyway, I could go on about loads of shit, but nice to meet you. Yeah, wicked.
Can you sing us out with the Vietnamese song? Just to
okay. Oh, the dog did it.
The dog did it.
The love dog.
The love dog. He's worried he's going to eat him for dinner.
Dong ding dang, bing ding dang, dong ding ding, riang ding bong, ding 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 ding, chang ting tong, bing dong ding dong ding ding, ng dang ding ding, ding ding ding, bing ding dong.
Thank you.
Nice one, man.
Honestly, how much fun and how adorable is Pete? I absolutely loved our conversation and hope you did too. Like I said, coming up we have Nobel Peace Prize winner Rebecca Johnson and, fingers crossed, a Hollywood actress that should be with you very soon.